I have to say, when I'm doing this, it seems a whole lot faster than when I'm worshiping with you on the video. It is taking some time. I apologize for that. Please hear the word of the Lord as it is given to us in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James, and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord and can be trusted. As you are aware, we are going through the COVID-19 plan for reopening. We've been through phase one, and now we are in phase two. And we get this passage in our scripture, in which Jesus leaves and the disciples stay. And I'm thinking it ought to be the other way around. Let the disciples leave and have Jesus stay. Because not only is Jesus leaving them, he's leaving them in charge. And I'm thinking, this isn't going to turn out very well. I've got a lot more confidence in Jesus than I do in the disciples. I mean, they're about as clueless as they come. They're a bunch of inept, incompetent, faithless, deserting, denying, betraying losers. But let me tell you what I really think about them. I used to think that they were like that before the resurrection. But they're not any brighter after the resurrection. Look at the question that they asked in verse 6. "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" And this is right after Jesus has just given them a 40-day special seminar. What comes after the resurrection? Or phase two of God's kingdom plan. So then I used to think, well, after Pentecost, the disciples will get it. But they don't. Remember Peter and the unclean food vision? And then he and Paul mixed it up in Antioch. Remember that? Over the potluck dinner. These people are not the brightest and the best. They are dim-witted numbskulls, knuckleheads, clueless clowns. The disciples are not the brightest and the best. But then, neither are we. The disciples do not have superpowers. But then, neither do we. They are not superheroes or Jedi masters, and neither are we. Being a disciple is not about being clever or even competent. It's about being committed and obedient. Jesus gives us God's grace. That's phase one. Our job is to share the good news about God's grace. That's phase two. Share God's grace. and we don't get superpowers or a magic cape or magic rings. We get each other, we get prayer, and we get grace. And as it turns out, that's enough. 2,000 years later, we're still a bunch of stumbling, bumbling, clueless, dim-witted disciples who have been entrusted with a mission. In the movie Lilo and Stitch, Lilo has a claim on Stitch, and she is able to prevent the Galactic Empire from exacting punishment on Stitch. And Jesus does the same for us. And just like Stitch, it's not because we are deserving, but because we are loved. Loved by Jesus every bit as much as Lilo loves Stitch. And when Stitch is asked about his family amidst all the disasters and chaos, he answers, "It's small and it's broken, but it's still good." Yep, it's still good. Which sums us up too. Intergalactic harmony is able to be celebrated because of love. Unconditional love. As you know, in the movie, we discover the Hawaiian word ohana. Ohana means family. That's what Jesus is trying to show them. Quit looking at the clouds and look at one another, because that's where I am. I'm in the face of the other, the family member and the neighbor, the friend and the stranger. It makes no sense, but then a lot of what God does doesn't make sense. God doesn't make sense. God makes grace. And the disciples ask, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" "No, but I'll give you a glimpse. The kingdom of God looks like a small, broken family that loves each other and is committed to each other and that is willing to make sacrifices to show ohana, to show that no one gets left behind or forgotten. Because ohana is not just a Hawaiian word, it's a kingdom word. Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" "No, but I'll give you a taste of the kingdom. Every time you gather at the table and take the bread and take the cup in my name." And we find that it is enough to keep us going until we meet again and feast in heaven. So we are in phase two, and it is a lot of responsibility. And Jesus is telling us that there is no backup plan. Jesus says, "I am entrusting this mission to you." And sometimes, many times, we think that we are not big enough, or smart enough, or talented enough, or spiritual enough. And we are reminded that neither were the disciples. Jesus says, "You've got this because you've got God." That is why the very first thing the disciples did after Jesus left was pray. I'd be praying that God send Jesus back. But God is saying, "I've got you covered. You're going to be okay. Look, you've got a community. You're not in this by yourself." And Luke even lists some names. Did you hear those names? See, there's Diana and Stacy and Teddy. There's Lorraine. There's Glenn and Karen and Elizabeth and Brian and Lorelai and Donovan. There's Rick and there's Howard. There's Sandra. There's Jonathan. There's Caitlin. There's Kiana. There's Eric. There's Marilyn. There's Chet. There's Kaylee. There is community. And that's how the kingdom moves to the next stage. With Jesus leaving and the disciples gathering for prayer and being reminded they are not alone. Yes, you've got a mission, God tells them and us, but I've also got a plan. It's going to work. And 2,000 years later, it's still working because you know how to be faithful. You know how to pray. And we all know about God's grace, which is greater not only than our sin, but greater than our mistakes. God not only created the world, God stays with the world. And that's the message we give to the world. Amen. One of the ways we are able to share the message of God's grace to the world is by giving to the world through our offerings. We give so much more than just blankets and medicine. We give people hope. We give people reminders that they are not alone. And I want to again thank you for the gifts you've given. And I ask you now to join me in prayer as we lift them up to the Lord. Lord our God, we thank you for this opportunity to share with you, to participate with you in sharing the good news of your grace, in sharing the opportunity to give hope. As you bless these gifts, as you bless these offerings, we ask that you would bless those who receive this. May they feel your presence. May they feel your love. May they be reminded that they are not alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just as we are able to see that we're not alone, we are also able to taste that we are not alone. As I mentioned in the sermon, we are able to see a glimpse of the kingdom. We're able to taste a glimpse of the kingdom when we gather at the Lord's table. For on the night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord our God, on this Memorial Day weekend, we remember not only the sacrifice that women and men have made to give us that gift of freedom. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus made that we may be free from sin. We pray, Lord, that as we are receiving these emblems, that we would also be empowered by these emblems to be the courageous, bold disciples you have called us to be. To be bold in our witness by sharing your grace. To understand that everyone means everyone. Help us, Lord, to share that love with all people. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. As we conclude our worship service this morning, again, we have this opportunity. We have an opportunity for some people who are worshiping with us, whose hearts have been opened as they've been reminded of God's love and grace for them, that this is your opportunity to receive the blessing of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so I want to ask you, who have not yet made the confession, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? And God bless you. For others of you who have made that confession, this is our opportunity to be able to give an affirmation that we are still the disciples God called us to be. For all the mistakes that we may make, we still trust in God's grace. And so let me ask you two questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? God bless you. And thank you for worshiping with us. Take care and have a great week. God bless.